So, now in Tentno, ACHA 2015, day 5, I have with me on stage Tal Melamed. He's an application security expert with a long history in the field, he will probably tell you about in a minute. And he's going to talk about Bluetooth low energy key security issues. Please give a very warm welcome to Tal Melamed.
Hi everyone, can you hear me? Yeah, great. Okay, so I'm Tal, application security expert. So in this talk, I'm going to explain about what is BLE, where is the risk in all that, where is the risk in having these BLE devices. We'll speak in a second. I'm going to talk about some security, key security aspects like the security manager, the BLE pairing, and the GUT. And then I'm going to dive into the application level of it and see how we can man in the middle Bluetooth devices and use it to hack either the device or the mobile app that communicates with it. I've got some devices here. I hope they will work in real time. We'll see some cool tools that are available today for the use for the man in the middle. And we'll talk about some possible countermeasures and what's next. So just a little about me. I'm Tal, I work at AppSec Labs. As the name says, we deal with secure apps. Our goal is to secure all the apps in the world. Apps, I mean web applications, client desktop application, mobile application, and IoT. And this is part of the IoT that I'm talking about. About 12 years in the field of information security, working at some companies, security companies like Checkpoint and RSA and others. And part of what I'm doing is developing security content for training, for training purposes, whether it's secure coding for developers, hacking for hackers, and awareness for who else needs it. You can follow me at my personal website, at my GitHub, or through LinkedIn. Just about a word about AppSec Labs. We deal with all the industry vectors. We have clients from biggest organizations like Intel, Microsoft, to small startups, where we work on really cool things like biometric logins and things like that. And you can see us at in the past 5 years in all the Black Hat Vegas events and OWASP events and other cool hacking conferences like SHA, but this is the first time. Okay, so let's start with what is BLE. I'll just mention BLE, but what is it really? So BLE is an abbreviation for Bluetooth Low Energy. It's the successor of the normal Bluetooth that we all heard of. It's called also Bluetooth Smart. It's part of the Bluetooth 4 specifications. And it's designed to be power efficient. It's smaller, much easier to implement, and it's supposed to last longer. So why did the Bluetooth come with the BLE? Because as we can see today, we got IoTs everywhere. IoTs, in every aspect, houses, wearables, etc., medical, everything. So there was a need for a protocol that can support the scale, this type of scale, which will be cost-effective and efficient and will last long. So by 2021, there's supposed to be, according to Gartner or something, 48 billion IoT devices, and they're estimated them third of all the devices would be based on Bluetooth. So we've got a wide range of devices to hack and secure. Where is the difference between the BLE and the Bluetooth Classic? So they are different, completely different. They talk on the same spectrum, 2.5 gigahertz, but they have different architecture. The BLE is working in a master-slave kind of mode. We'll see it. They have different module parameters, channels. The format of the packets are totally different. And on top of that, they cannot communicate with each other. So it's not that BLE devices support also communication with BT, the Bluetooth Classic. Nope, you have to buy new ones. And if you have them, you probably have to buy new ones soon after you hear this talk. Okay, so I told you why the change. So good power consumption and cost. It's very cheap. You can look on AliExpress or whatever and find locks, chips and everything, Bluetoothy that costs, I don't know, $0.05 from $0.10 to $100. So where the risk in all of that? So of course in the industry, if we go to the most, maybe one of the most important ones, for medical industry. So also they already managed to hack some medical equipment like diabetic insulin pumps. So you can imagine what they can do. If we go to our own lives, we can see it now everywhere. So there's a thermometer, insulin pump that attached to your body. If you can just pump someone from remote, that could be dangerous. We've got everywhere. This is now the most common thing you can find online is the Bluetooth devices locks. I've got one here. I hope it will work. Sometimes they don't work that well, especially if you buy them from AliExpress. So we've got all these locks, and they're all very secure because they're locks, they're physical, not only technological, but after all, also Bluetooth have the software layer upon above it, and this is where we come, and we see that they are not so tough after all. Of course, open watch and other gadgets to open your door, your garage door, your home door. You don't have to talk about sound. And the most part, we have also inhalers, medical inhalers, that also are smart today. Someone has to be smart if they're using it. So let's talk shortly about the architecture. How does it work? So three layers, we can sum it that. That way we have the controller layer where the physical engineering stuff, the radio control, connection linking, I'm not a hardware guy, radio testing, and of course the interface for the host. So the interface is how the components are going to talk with the physical layers. And on the host, we have the, it sits on top of the radio and it provides API to the application. We have some components there, like the security manager and other components that we're going to shortly discuss soon. And we've got the app layer, where this is where the app comes. So the interface to the host, and they communicate with BLE components, scanning, pairing, encrypting, hopefully, and other things that Bluetooth devices can do, music, camera, etc. So the security manager, part of the host, part of the architecture, it has three main goals. It is in charge of the pairing feature exchange, the short key, term key generation, and key distribution. It has some built-in security functions, and for example, AES 128. Sorry. And It uses key exchange for transferring keys between the device and the client. The client could be a mobile app or another device or some hardware, etc. And it uses asymmetric key, the asymmetric key model, where they have a private key and public key. So it sounds a little secure. Is it really secure? So the problem comes in the pairing. The problem that reveals the apps for this expose the apps for that risks for the risks. So we've got the pairing. We said the pairing. The pairing is made between the smart device to the mobile app or some other app in order to encrypt their communication link between them so they can speak privately and no one else will be able to listen. The key can be used also to sign and verify data, random address resolution, and some other parts that Bluetooth provides. The pairing process is a three-phase process. First of all, the device. So now I'm going to say device. I'm going to use this smart bracelet. You can't see from behind, just believe me. And then the other one will be, one second. Okay, the app will show the screen of the app, of the mobile phone on the screen soon. So they are going to communicate with each other, and while the pairing, they exchange the pairing feature possibilities, because some devices, and this is the next slide, I'm going to talk about the three types of pairing they have. So after they changed their pairing features, they go with the chosen one, and then the device or the app, one of them, generates a key. If we're talking about Bluetooth 4.0, it's going to be the legacy pairing, which is the same pairing that was in the Bluetooth Classic. And from 4.1 to Bluetooth 5, they're going to they're using secure connections. This is it's called that way, and they're using long-term key. This is a much more secure key exchange or key generation, and then they transport the keys between them so they can encrypt the link. So pairing, we have three types of pairing, which is really how do the device determine how to create the key. So we have the first, most common one, legacy one, just works. This is its name. They branded it just works. When you go and check why it just works, then you find out that the key is zero. So of course it just works. I could do it myself. The other way method is the six-digit PIN. Could be also four-digit PIN, I think. Anyway, if your device have a screen, and only then, because you have to see the PIN, then sometimes if both of the devices communicate have this the six PIN digit, then you can one device can display a PIN serial, I don't know, a PIN number, and then you have to manually click it on the other device, type it on the other device. So this is going to generate the key, the temporary key, so they can communicate with each other. Okay, six digits, 1 million options. We can brute force it, of course. I'm not going to show how I'm going to brute force it. It's already shown by Mike Ryan on Black Hat, I think. You can see his great presentation on Black Hat, and he shows how all the Bluetooth pairing model is not so good. It's not working really secure. And the other option, the third one, is out of band. Out of band means they are the devices that communicate with each other. They transfer the key on a different protocol, different spectrum, but supposed to be secure because the key is going over a different channel, so no one's listening it to it, hopefully, like NFC or something like that. So for that to work, both devices have to support this. New smartphones maybe support NFC, but most Bluetooth devices doesn't support NFC because they are Bluetooth devices. So I actually haven't seen one that using it. Hopefully they're not just saying that, but there are some ways to do that. So Bluetooth says none of the pairing methods provide protection against passive eavesdropper. Great, thank you for letting us know. You could come up with something that does protect against a passive eavesdropper, but don't worry, because the next version will support elliptic curve and Diffie-Hellman for key exchange. Okay, great, that's really great. They understood the problem, but the problem for me is that I already bought the devices, so my devices are using BT BLE 4.0, so they are not secure. So from all that, I didn't understand, are they secure or not secure? So in practice, we test a lot of IoT devices, BLE devices, and at least 80% or about 80% of the smart devices doesn't use the cryptographic possibilities of the protocol, and they just work, and they don't use the encryption, they don't use the verification, and they let the app handle everything. So, but the problem is that the app, mobile app, cannot control everything because the app doesn't have control over the operation level, or let's say the device. So if it's a mobile device, the app usually cannot control the Bluetooth features of the device because it is installed on a device, a random device. So as I said, they're not really secure. Why? I don't have to tell you why things are not secure, because probably the most common answer is because it's easier to do it that way. Okay, so the next part of the Bluetooth, the BLE that we'll talk about, is most important for me, is the GAT, generic attribute profile. This is like a scheme used to communicate between BLE devices, like so they know what to expect. Build on top of the attribute protocol server, the GAT server, which is one device, stores data receiving from other devices, and then it uses it to communicate with the device. I'll show you how it works. And they organize it, this scheme organizes data and objects in profiles, characters, characteristics and services. So it's going to be something like look something like that. I have a service. Let's say it has a heart monitor. So how does the app that communicates with it know that it has a heart monitor? So it tells there is this GAT profiling, and it tells the mobile app or everyone that wants to listen, okay, I've got this service. It's a heart rate. This is the name, descriptor. This is the property. You can write to it, read to it, or notify. Notify is like registering and receiving constant data. You can, in the architecture is had, or the developers needed to decide whether you can do act on this service, read this service, or write to it, authenticated or not. And et cetera, other services line up. So what is the typical flow? The typical flow for communication between the mobile app and the smart device. So this is the smart device. Now I want to pair my mobile app to it. So usually just I turn it on, and then it just advertises itself. Hi, I'm a Bluetooth device. Someone wants to connect to me. These are my services and characteristics, and you can connect to me. Then on the mobile app, to connect, to communicate with it, I will start by some app or using the built-in feature of the mobile app to scan for BLE devices. You'll start seeing BLE devices in the range. Once you select and advertise, the application will start reading all the services and characteristics and build your profile on the mobile on the BLE device with what it can operate on. Communication is determined. I mean, the device is identified according to its MAC address. So if you have the same device with different MAC addresses, this is how they're going to determine which device is it, which is cool because then we have MAC spoofing. And after they are paired, they have an encrypted link, and then they can start communicating with each other. But maybe this is a little complicated. Let me simplify how it looks. So this is a BLE device. I am a BLE device, and this is me. Thank you for showing me all your services and whatever I can do. So at this point, I told you that the device is just publishing, advertising itself. So at this point, what I do, just to start looking around, I download a BLE scanner randomly from App Store or Play Store, and then I can start scan for services for BLE devices. I don't need any special app or anything for it. I download BLE scanner, click on scan. I see all the BLE devices, and then I can connect to them. Some of them might require some further authentication. We'll discuss that. And then I can see something like this, all the device information, attributes, and services. And I can start reading them or calling them. So I can just connect to one of your devices. And probably they have, this is very common, just to see the battery level. So I'm going to see, is there battery level here? I can read the specification of the device, and it will tell me the battery level of the device. You can see there are all these UUIDs there. What are they? What are they doing? I don't know, but it's a specification name. So you can take this name, because you don't know what all these services. Oh, here you can see battery service. So what are all these custom services and generic attributes? Well, you don't know what they do. So you just copy this number, and then you Google it, or you go into Bluetooth, and then you have all the specification. OK, if you see the XXX as 1811, then this is alert notification service. So you know what it is used for. And this is how you can learn about the device services. So now, let's see if it works. Great. Okay, so I'm going to launch the BLE scanner. Yeah, okay. So now I'm going to scan. Don't know who's blank is, someone around here. Let's see if I can try. Okay, so I've got this iTag. It's a simple BLE device where you can put on your dog or your wallet or something, and then you can track it. Okay, so you'd think you have a designated app that only this app knows, so you need to put in a serial number or something like that, and then you're the only one that can use it. But no, I can just scan it, BLE. So I'm coming, I hope. So I hope to find some BLE device. I'll connect to it. Sorry, you can't see this. So this is not helping. I'm talking. Okay. So you don't know what I'm talking about. Okay. So this is my mobile. Okay. And then I'm scanning for devices, for BLE devices. Hopefully to find my my device. Let's see if I can find it. You can see the numbers telling you how far is it from the device. The problem with BLE that they are not working that good anyway, especially those you buy at AliExpress. Okay, I don't know, maybe it's some, I'm not going to do anything. So I'm just clicking on the device, it tries to connect, not sure if it's going to connect to it, and then I'm going to see all the services. Okay. Okay, there it is. So I'm connecting to this iTag. It's, as I told you, it's a general application, BLE scanning. Let's hope that it works. Now it tries to read all the services that the device is providing. Never mind, let's go on. I'll show you better stuff. Okay, let's go on. So anyway, I can connect to most of the devices and then start studying them over Google or over Bluetooth. And the problem is that most devices do not apply any authentication to their services, so you can just register or write to any device that you can find and scan. Okay, so let's talk about man in the middle. So this is how a normal man in the middle would work, right? We have the mobile app and the Bluetooth device, and then we come in the middle. This is man in the middle. So this is not going to work on Bluetooth because Bluetooth can only do one Bluetooth thingy. So if it advertises itself, it cannot connect to a device and vice versa. So I have a BLE adapter or an app, and I want to connect to the Bluetooth device, but then I will not be able also to connect to the mobile app because I can do only one thing. So for that, I have to have a different architecture for man in the middle. So this is something like how it's going to work. I have two BLE adapters. They are here. You can't see them. I don't want to disconnect them. I'll show you in a second. One will connect to the mobile app. The other one will connect to the Bluetooth device. And then they just have to communicate with each other. I will use a different protocol because the Bluetooth possibilities are over for me. So I'm going to show you tools or how you can do it over WebSocket. So the components are connected to the BLE devices and they communicate with each other over WebSocket. This is how we create the man in the middle. So how do we start this, doing this? So we buy, I love AliExpress, yes. We buy two dongles, CSR 4.0. These are Bluetooth BLE adapters. And one will work as the master and one will work as the slave. You can buy them at $270, including shipping. So that's not a problem. And then what I'll do is I'll download Kali Linux VM or any other VM that you like. And I will connect one to this virtual machine and the other to the other virtual machine. Now I have two machines, everyone has its own dongle, and they will be used, one to connect to the mobile app, and one will connect to the smart device. So after I did that, there are some basic commands that you need to know or to work on the machine to see that you are connected. So HCI config is to see the interfaces of the BLE. So you see the address they have, the MAC address, and if they are running or not, you can use HCI config, HCI, the interface, and then up, down to start and close it. HCI tool is another tool that lets you scan for BLE devices. So you just type HCI tool LE scan and you start seeing devices. Sorry. We have got tool, another tool, command line. They are coming with the libraries that you need to install. Got tool, you can read characteristics from a device after you connect to it. So got tool and the MAC address of the device to connect to it. And then you can read and write to it from the command line. And we have some cool tools that already implemented everything. So we don't need to do it ourselves. So the first great tool is Gattacker. And these tools lets you or gives you the ability to use the architecture that I discussed earlier. When you communicate over WebSocket. So now I'm going to show you how I'm using it, this tool, in order to see or do man in the middle between the mobile device and the smart device, the smart BLE device. And as part of that, I'm going to show you how you can use tools like Burp. Don't know if you're familiar with Burp. Is my best friend as an application security expert. It helps you. It's a proxy tool that lets you intercept the communication over HTTP and HTTPS and WebSockets. So let's see how that looks. Okay, so I showed you I connect one device, one VM to the BLE adapter. The other way around, I connect one adapter to the virtual machine. Just checking that it works. Yeah, you can see I can scan for devices. And then on the other, I'm going to connect the other adapter. Then I need to, if I have more than one interface for BLE, then I need to specify which of the interfaces I'm going to use. Sorry, 1 second. So here I'm going to tell him where is the slave, what is the IP of the slave machine. So they will know how to communicate with each other over WebSocket. Then I'm just going to start the slave on one VM and start scanning on the other virtual machine. Here you can see on the bottom virtual machine, you can see all the services or the GUT profiles that it collected. You can see some devices, PowerWatch Plus, LockS, and here some other device, AMI, YJ. The master device stores all these characteristics and GUT profiles on the disk, so I can use them. So now this is how I'm going to use to do the man in the middle. I'm going to do this is the files that the scan stored. So I'm going to advertise myself. So I'm going to connect to the mobile device. And then because I know all its characteristics and profiles, I will pretend to be it, so I will just advertise them myself. I already connected to the device, so it cannot advertise anymore because it already paired. So if you, for example, pair a device to your app, then you scan again from a different device, you will not be able to see the smart device because it is already paired. So it does not advertise anymore. So I'm just going to advertise it and wait for the app to connect to it. So of course, if I'm using a different MAC address and the user already paired once before to the device, then it will see a different device if he or she will notice, because it depends on the app how it presents it. But of course, there is a possibility to MAC spoof your to spoof your MAC address, so they will automatically communicate. So this is the device. Sorry, one second, slower. This is the device. I'm going to start the power sensor up. This is a designated app to communicate with this port bracelet. And then I will scan for device. Now I see the power watch. But this power watch is not the actual power watch. It's the one that I copied, cloned, and then advertised myself. So in a second, you will be able to see here on the upper VM all the traffic that goes between the mobile, the smart device to the mobile app. And here you will see it as hexed values. So this app has a feature of sport activities. So I can count jumping ropes. So I will not jump now, but when I recorded it, I had to flip this thing in the air. So I'm just going to count it. And you can see that in some hex version, I can see the data coming from the device to the mobile app. So this is just passive, right? I can only see this. But there are two other, you can see also here the watch, small. There are other ways to do the active man in the middle. One is by hooking to a service, or using a real-time modification. So now I pre-hooked a service. So what it will do, it will just raise up, increase the numbers. So you can see here that I did a treadmill hook. All it does is locating this locating this notification event according to its characteristics. I know it starts with 97 something something, and then I will replace this string with this hexa string. And what will happen is that the next time I can really show off of my hard work. So I'm going to do the same with this, with the hook. Okay, so I'm adding the smart device, the BLE device. Now I'm going to do the treadmill, and then when I'll start, you can see the hook that I just did. So I'm now going to do a lot of sport, and I can really show off of my running. Not so tiring though. So you can see it keeps on counting. I can do, of course, whatever. Now I can. I'm showing you how you can manipulate numbers, but of course it can be other severe things. Okay, so now I'm adding Burp. Burp, as I mentioned, is a proxy tool, great tool that helps you man-in-the-middle WebSockets and HTTPS. So this is WebSocket. So I'm going to use the same. I'll just tell Burp to listen to the right port and interface, and then I'm going to do the same. And then you can see all the traffic already in Burp. Burp has the ability to do on-the-fly manipulation. So this time I'm going to do sit-ups. And then you can see all the data transfer through Burp. I don't have to do anything myself. I can intercept. Let me run it further. I can intercept the request, just modify it, and then hit the forward, and then I will do a lot of push-ups. You can't see my my squares here, but because it's on the fly, then the next request will tell it on 11, not on 3 million. Okay, so this is why we do the hooks, so it will permanently work. Okay, so this is thanks to Guttaker. Okay, the other tool is Betelgeuse. Another man-in-the-middle framework also has a web interface, really cool tool. Gives you also the ability to reply through the interface. So the Guttaker tool now has also the ability to reply, but you need to dump a request and then replay it. Here you have the reply feature on the web interface. So I'll try to do a live demo. It's going to be nicer. Okay, one second. Okay, so can you see my screen? Great. So Betelgeuse proxy on one, already the Betelgeuse master on the other. You can see that they are connected. I'll put the mobile up here. Okay, so now I can browse to the Betelgeuse interface. Oh yeah, let's just do like this. Here I can select the target device. So I'm going to connect to my Power Watch. Now what happens is that it tries to read all the services and characteristics. Come on. Okay, connected. So now I'm going to use the same app that I showed you before, the power sensor. And device, great. So I think they're already connected because the same MAC address. Yeah, okay, so now the cool feature is you cannot see that, but from this wristband bracelet, you can look here in a second. I can take pictures. Okay, so let's see if it works. Yeah, hi. So, one second. There you go, you saw it? Great, so I took a picture. Now I have the request on this, I think, it's this one, so I'm going to replay it. One second. Okay. All right. Oh. Let's do this. So you can see them together. So here you can see. I can take pictures from my computer now. Yeah. Let's take one picture of you. No. Yeah, you want some? Yeah, okay, so it's going to be tough. And 3, 2, 1. Great, sorry guys. Yeah, this is not... okay, so one cool thing, and the other one is even nicer because what you can't see, but I'm closing the app, so it's closed, right? But now I can also, and let's hope it works. Okay, great. So it's on mute. Okay, can you hear it? So I can also switch songs. Yeah, disconnected. One second. So as I told you, the only thing problem with BLE that it gets disconnected. Okay, again I'm connected. Let's try again. Okay, yeah. So we got some other songs. And then our victim goes to sleep or to a meeting, but we just got this. Let's even do this. Yeah. So I'm going to a meeting. My phone is locked or something. And then someone who sits nearby, because you have to have the proximity, just recorded the request. And then starts it in the middle of the meeting. So it's really cool. Thank you. Okay, so we could use the mobile device to hack into the mobile app, sorry, the smart device to hack into the mobile device. We bypassed the app because the app has permissions on the device to start the music, to take pictures and whatnot. So we are using the BLE layer to target the mobile app to hack into the device. So we already showed the demo. Okay, last words. So I applied for another conference, different conference, totally different. They even have cocktails and galas. But the problem was that you had to submit a paper, and if you had over 6 pages, then it would cost you $1,010 for each page. Really, so what I did, so they have galas indeed, but really, guys, you must do the math first. I just put -9. I have -9 pages, so thanks. Got a free ticket, yeah. Also to a gala, didn't go. Okay, so. We saw that we can we cannot protect BLE 4.0 because it's in the device. So what we can do is, if we're building apps, is to put some security into the app. As a security application security person, we have some rules of thumb, of course. Do not rely on what's coming from the user. Enforce access control. So if you're going to now start downloading the scanner app and scan each other devices on you, yeah. If the app is smart enough, then it will require an access control to access some services. Also do input validation. And there is some features that can be done using the BLE technique, or exposing the BLE pairing model just in a secure, more secure way, is that, for example, in order to pair to a device, you first need to click it for, 3 seconds, and then you have 5 seconds to pair. So it adds more security. Of course, the app should properly warn you if you're using a different MAC, it comes across the same device with a different MAC address. And do not rely on the BLE encrypt, sign, verify data in transit. I must say thank especially Slavomir for his tool Gutacker. He also contributed to this to the start initial of the research. Also thanks to Damian and Mike. You can see their great tools and talks, Hacklu and Black Hat. And I'm going to discuss further this or past discuss this talk in other conferences. You can see. So, Bluetooth is vulnerable against eavesdrops, but hopefully, if we're going to get the next versions of Bluetooth BLE devices, they are going to be 4.2 or 5, which are now really immersing. They are much more secure, so because they use known encryption crypto libraries and algorithms, and they did not decided by themselves how to create new ones, and use the also the application side. Thank you very much for coming and for staying for the last way. You can contact me. Thanks. Thank you. You can contact me at this email if you want questions.
Thank you very much, Tal. If you have any questions, please line up at the microphones as it is already has already started raining. Stay inside, ask a few questions. Come on, up to the microphones. Yeah, first one. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
You showed an attack with this bracelet you were showing, and I was curious whether there was no pairing involved at all, or if you could like replay values that were somehow encrypted.
Not sure I understood the question. You're asking if I had to pair it with a pin or something.
Right.
No. So just works.
Because it's a very really shitty device, right?
Yeah, but most of the devices, most of them, I mean, maybe the most new ones will not be, but most of the devices that you get, well, you'll just pair to them and go.
So, but when you pair, right,
yeah.
Isn't there some kind of encryption going on the
communication
channel? Yeah,
there is an encryption, and I told you at the beginning also asymmetric key and key exchange, the problem is that when I do the SMN in the middle, I first connect myself to the device, so it doesn't really matter. I'm not showing how you can hack a BLE communication link, although it's possible, already showed by Mike Ryan. He also has a tool for it. You can download it from luxter.net, where you can actually brute force a paired communication or jam an already paired communication in order to establish a new one and then hack into it. But I wanted to show you the application level, the application side of it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
More comment. One thing also the devices shouldn't do is sending out data that you already can use. Fitbit is known for sending out how many steps you take always. So you get the name of the device and how many steps it take on that day without any interaction with the device other than scanning.
Yeah. Not sure I understood the question.
It's more what's going wrong with it.
Yeah. Just so
you get all the information without even asking.
Yeah. So as I showed you, the problem is that today the Bluetooth just tells you, "Hello, I'm a Bluetooth. This is what I can do. Just use it free. Connect to it." And though you think that you can think that there is a designated app that only it can work with the device. So this is not true. I could do all of these from a normal scanner, BLE scanner, generic one. I'll just need to know the exact packets to send or data to send to it or to read from how to read to it from it. Yeah.
Next question, please.
Hi. How do you do what you did on an existing connection. So what's the de-auth story, or how do you?
Okay, so if there is an already established pair, devices are paired, so you cannot do it at the moment, because I told you that once you, the device is paired, it can no longer do anything else. So I told the other guy that there is a way to jam a communication over Bluetooth. So in that way, the communication is jammed and depaired, and then you have to come in the middle and
but
do that.
Like, if you've tried it, it's actually really hard to, like, yeah, you can broadcast noise on the spectrum, but that's pretty much all you can do, and it's not very reliable as a way to de-auth.
Yeah, so you have some limitations with Bluetooth. You also have to have the proximity, and so it's not that easy as it looks, but if you're already in the middle, then you can do bad stuff.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any further questions? No, apparently not. So please give another warm round of applause for
Thank
Tom Malamud.
Thank you, everyone.